As we've already noted, half of our church is over in the Holy Land of Pennsylvania, up in the wilds, up 50 miles north of Du Bois, and they've gone up there for family camp, and they are staying on the property of Jim and Sue Prock. And Jim and Sue were members here for many years. Jim was an elder here at the church, and boy, we just love them so much. Just a fine Christian couple. When I was recently traveled up to Pennsylvania to visit with them, to pray with Jim and Sue, because our brother has liver cancer, they told me a story that just kind of blew me away, a true story. It's a story of Jim's nephew. And his nephew interviewed, he's not a believer, by the way, not a believer, but he interviewed for a job with a foreign company located in Falls Creek, Virginia. The company makes security chips, microchips. And the job that he interviewed for was a very, very, very good job, very high-paying job. And Jim's nephew was in real need of finding a job. He was offered a job by this company, but he didn't take it. And when he talked with Jim and Sue, they said, well, good paying job, good company. You need a job? Why didn't you take it? And here is what he replied. I think this work is the work of the devil, and I don't want to be a part of it. I do not want to work for Antichrist. Can you imagine that? I think this work is a work of the devil, and I don't want any part of it, and I don't want to work for Antichrist. Now, what in the world was this company doing that would cause him to respond in this way? I'll tell you later. Take your Bibles and open up to Revelation 13. Revelation 13. We began a study last time in Revelation 13. You remember we saw that during a seven-year period that is coming upon the earth, a period called the tribulation, the 70th week of Daniel, the time of Jacob's trouble. This 7 years is the period that precedes Christ literally coming to earth to set up a kingdom. There will arise a man by the name of Antichrist, or he's called Antichrist. Outwardly, this man is going to be very good, very good. He will have a charismatic personality. He will be an eloquent speaker and be able to sway the multitudes. And during the first half of the tribulation, 3.5 years, 42 months, he will appear to be a man of peace. In fact, I believe if we look at Daniel chapter 9, he is going to bring a peace treaty in the Middle East between the Arabs and the Israelis. And I think at that time he will probably win the Nobel Peace Prize. He will make a peace treaty for 7 years. Outwardly, he is going to appear to be a very great and wonderful man. But inwardly, God sees the heart. And God sees this coming future dictator as a beast. Look at Revelation chapter 13, verse 1. It says, and he stood on the sand of the seashore, and I saw a beast coming out of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads, and on his horns were 10 diadems, and on his heads were blasphemous names. And this man, God sees as a beast. And we said last week, he sees him as a beast because he is morally corrupt. He will be a hedonist. He will speak blasphemies against God, and there will be no fear of God before his eyes. In the latter half of the tribulation, in the last 3.5 years, he will come out and show his true colors. In fact, in the middle of the tribulation, he will set himself up in the temple in Jerusalem, and he will sit on the throne in the temple and declare that all must worship him. It's called the abomination of desolation. And we saw this last week. We saw in Revelation 13, he has great power. Because look at verse 2. At the end of verse 2, we see the power source. And the dragon gave him his power and his throne and great authority. This guy is Satan energized. Satan energized. The power will be manifested politically as he rises to lead a revived Roman Empire, a U.S. of Europe, or the European Union. He will be very deceptive. In fact, verse 3, look at verse 3 again. He will receive a fatal head wound. A fatal head wound. His spirit will descend into the bottomless pit, and Satan, who has just once and for all been kicked out of heaven, the outer courts of heaven, and thrown down to earth, will raise Antichrist out of the bottomless pit. And at that point, I believe Satan will enter into this Antichrist, and he will become Satan incarnate. Just like Jesus Christ was God incarnate, this Antichrist is going to be Satan incarnate. And through his counterfeit resurrection, he's going to deceive the world into thinking that he is God. And many people in the world will worship him. And he will finally, according to verse 7, he will finally be the dictator of the whole world. He will have authority, it says in verse 7, over every tribe, every people, every tongue, every nation. And the earth will come, those who dwell upon the earth, verse 8, will come and worship him. And worship him. Now, what we have considered already is the person of Antichrist, and the power of Antichrist, and the program of Antichrist. And this morning, we want to look at the promotion of Antichrist. The promotion of Antichrist. If we could have the promotion. And the promotion of Antichrist is through a second character. He's described down in verse 11. Verse 11, his promotion comes through a second beast. A second beast. And that's what we want to look at today, his promotion. And look at this second beast. And I want you to see, look at verse 11. And I saw another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon. First of all, his person. His person. Now, go back, would you please? Back one more. There you go. His person. First of all, he comes out of the earth. You remember the first beast up in verse 1? He came out of where? He came out of the sea. And we said last week, if you look at Revelation 17, it tells us what that is. That's the Gentile nations. This second beast, this second person who is to promote the Antichrist, he comes out of the earth. And most scholars believe that this refers to the land of Palestine, because it's out of the earth, or you can translate this out of the land. And most say that this is out of the land of Palestine, which perhaps suggests that this second beast is Jewish. He has two horns, which means he is very powerful. And remember, Antichrist is described to how many horns? 10 horns. But this second beast has two horns. He is powerful. But his horns have no crowns. Very interesting. Because you remember on the horns of Antichrist, there were crowns, which meant he was a political ruler. This beast has no crowns. possibly suggesting this beast is a religious ruler. A religious ruler. He has not political, but religious power. And it's interesting, he is described in verse 11 like a lamb. Like a lamb. You know, folks, Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. Amen? He's the Lamb of God. In fact, in the book of Revelation, 28 times, Jesus Christ is called the Lamb of God. There's only one time in the book of Revelation where the word lamb is used, not referring to Jesus. And it's right here in Revelation 13, verse 11. This second beast is like a lamb, it says, like a lamb. And suggesting that this beast is really a wolf in sheep's clothing. He appears to be a religious man, similar to Christ, but he's called on three other occasions in the book of Revelation. Revelation 16, 13, Revelation 19, 20, Revelation 20, 10. He's referred to as the false prophet. The false prophet. He's a wolf in sheep's clothing. And it says here in verse 11, he spoke as a dragon. He will speak with satanic and demonic speech that will, just like the Antichrist, folks, will sway the multitudes. I'll tell you what, people can give great speeches. What is behind the speech? What's the man behind the speech, folks? I'll tell you what, this guy is going to be able to speak great things. Sway the multitudes. He's the epitome in the Bible of a false prophet. Now, the promotion. His person, we've seen. His program of promotion. What does he do? Folks, this second beast does not promote himself. He's not out to get the glory. He doesn't promote himself. He promotes, if I can have the next slide. He promotes Antichrist. He is like a satanic John the Baptist. You remember in Scripture when they came to John and John's out there and he's preaching and said, "Who are you, John? Who are you? Are you the coming one? Are you the Christ? Are you?" John says, "You know what? It's not about me." You remember what John said? He said, "I must decrease and he must increase." He said, "I didn't come to promote myself. I came to prepare the world for one who's coming after me that I am unworthy to unlatch his sandals. I didn't come to draw attention to me. I came to point to the Christ who's coming." You know what this beast does? This beast is like a satanic John the Baptist. He doesn't come to promote himself. He comes to promote Antichrist. He doesn't come to get praise for himself. He comes to point to the Antichrist. But folks, there's something even more significant than that that's happening. Something more significant. Can I have the next slide? What we have here, folks, in Revelation 13 is the Satanic Trinity. A Satanic Trinity. We have Satan, who is the dragon. We have Antichrist, who is the first beast. And we have the second beast, who is the false prophet. The dragon is likable to God the Father. The first beast is like to Jesus Christ. And then the false prophet is like unto the Holy Spirit. Because again, the Holy Spirit was not sent down here to glorify himself. We'll talk about that in a minute. He was here to glorify Jesus. Jesus said, "When the Holy Spirit comes, he will glorify me." And that's what this second beast does. And you know what? Satan is anti-God. The first beast is anti-Christ. And the false prophet is anti-Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you, what we have here is a satanic trinity. You know what? Satan is a mimic. Satan mimics God. And he has his satanic trinity. Trinity, and his false resurrection also of the Antichrist. Unbelievable. If I could have the next slide. But application. Application. If a Christian is filled with the Holy Spirit, he or she will be pointing people to Jesus. I'll tell you what, Antichrist, the beast, the second beast, is pointing people to Antichrist. But the Holy Spirit is pointing people to Jesus Christ. And you know what? There are people today that say that their ministries are of the Holy Spirit. And all they do is talk about the Holy Spirit or talk about experiences. Any ministry that is Holy Spirit directed will be pointing people to Jesus Christ. Amen? And any Christian that's filled with the Holy Spirit will be pointing people to Christ. So let's ask, is my life pointing people to Jesus Christ? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit today? When people see your life, are they seeing Christ? Are you pointing them to Jesus? That's what God wants us to do. Well, the promotion, the program of this second beast is to point people to the Antichrist and to get people to follow the Antichrist. Now let's, next, the power, the means of promotion. Look down at verses 13 through 15. Look what he does. Look what this second beast does. And he performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven to the earth and in the presence of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth because of the signs which he was given to him to perform in the presence of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who had the wound of the sword and has come to life. And there was given to him to give breath to the image of the beast, and that image of the beast might even speak and cause as many as do not worship the image of the beast to be killed. The power of this one is in miracles. He does, it says, great signs in my translation. In the King James, it says great wonders. It's really the literal translation, mega miracles. This second beast is going to do mega miracles, mega signs. In fact, he will call fire down, if you could go back, and I think the last area, call fire down from heaven to the earth. Now, does that remind you of anybody in the Old Testament? Who called fire down in the Old Testament? Elijah. You remember Elijah went on Mount Carmel? He went up on Mount Carmel. He said, God, we want to see who is really God here. Is Baal God or is Jehovah God? The God who answers by fire, he is God. And when God answered and sent down fire from heaven, and Elijah said, listen, you see that? That proves that Jehovah's God. Now this second beast is going to call fire down from heaven, and he's going to say, see, Antichrist is God. Antichrist is God. Do great miracles. Do great miracles. And he will do them. Look up in verse 13 again. See where he'll do them? And my translation says, in the presence of men, in the sight of men, in the sight of men. And I want to just caution us here today. Be cautious of men or women who perform miracles in the sight of men or while the TV camera's rolling. Do you know Jesus didn't do that? Jesus didn't have a servant, come and see me do miracles. Jesus never did that. In fact, many times when Jesus would heal somebody, what would he say? Don't tell anybody. You know, what would they do? Go out and tell everybody. Maybe that's what we should do. Don't tell anybody about Jesus. And they go out and tell people. But you know what? He never did a circus show and did miracles. He never did that. Be cautious of people that are out doing things like that, healing and doing miracles, people that are charging money, selling prayer cloths and prayer rugs. Jesus never charged money to heal anyone. Folks, in the last days, all sorts of demonic miracles, all sorts of demonic signs and healings will take place. And this will be the means and the power of the promotion of the beast of Antichrist. Jesus issued a warning in his Olivet Discourse found in Matthew 24, verse 24. He said, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and they will show great signs." By the way, it's mega miracles, same words. "And wonders, insomuch if it was possible, they would even deceive the elect." I'll tell you what, his power is in the deception. But his greatest miracle, if we could go to the next slide. The greatest miracle, it says here, is that he gives life or breath to the icon, to the image of the beast. The word image in the text is the word Greek word icon. The Greek word icon means image, icon, a likeness. If one will not worship the image, that person will be killed. You see, he'll make an image of Antichrist and somehow he'll give life. Now, I don't know if this is a satanic miracle or if this is some kind of deception, but somehow he will give life to this image. Now, I thought about this. Next slide. How's he going to do this? Could it be somehow through virtual reality? I mean, you can sometimes through virtual reality things, you can make things appear to be that aren't really. Could it be through computer enhancement? You know what somebody told me about the Olympics? I don't know if this is true or not, but the opening ceremony, closing ceremony, that some of the things that actually you saw on the television didn't actually take place. Did you hear that? I don't know if that's true or not, but they said some of the fireworks, to make it look even more spectacular, they were computer enhanced. Or could it be even through, maybe through an automated robot that he makes the image appear to be real? When I was down in April, down in Epcot Center, down in Florida, we went to the American Exhibition and went to the, I think it's called the Hall of the Presidents. And I saw, I'll tell you what, I saw Abraham Lincoln and George Washington. I saw them, actually saw them there, and they spoke. They were right there. And I think Mark Twain and Benjamin Franklin were there too. And you, if you wouldn't have known better, you would have thought they were really there. How's he going to do this? Is it going to be through some trickery like this that, or through cloning? I don't know. But somehow he's going to make the image of the beast come alive. And if you don't worship him, you'll be killed. You'll be killed. Now, what does this say to us? Let's go back to application. And I want you to take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Just for a word of application. Folks, I truly believe that we are living in the last days. We're living in the last days. And 2 Timothy chapter 3, I'll tell you what we're talking about. Some of these things come right out of the newspaper. You can come right out of the Akron Beacon Journal. They're so relevant. But 2 Timothy 3 says, "But realize this, in the last days, perilous, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied the power, and avoid such men as these." Doesn't that sound like today? I'm going to tell you, that's a description of the time we live in. It'll be a difficult time. It'll be a depraved time. But look down at verse 8. "And just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, So these men also opposed the truth, men of depraved mind, rejected as regards the faith. These times that we live in are going to be times that are deceptive. Jannes and Jambres were the magicians in Pharaoh's court that when Moses came in to speak to Pharaoh, and Moses took his staff and threw it down, and it became a serpent. Jannes and Jambres were there. And they took their staff, threw it down, and their staffs became serpents. And when Moses took his staff and he touched the water of the Nile and it became blood, they, through their magic arts, touched water and it became blood. They did counterfeit miracles, counterfeit great signs. And that's what the Bible says is going to be like in the last days. So what are we to do? Look down in 2 Timothy 3, verse 14. Paul tells Timothy, "You, however, continue in the things that you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you've learned them, and from your childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired of God and profitable for doctrine and reproof and correction and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work." What he's saying here is the last days are going to be they're going to be difficult, they're going to be depraved, they're going to be deceptive, and the only hope we have is to know and practice God's word. And I'll tell you what, folks, coming and hearing one sermon a week is not enough. You need to be into God's word every day. If there's ever been a time when we needed to be Bereans, it is in these last days. The Bereans were more noble-minded than the Thessalonians, for they examined the scriptures daily. They were into God's word daily and checked out things daily. And that's the kind of things we need. We need the word of God today. Application here, the application today, we live in the last days. And I'll tell you, we don't live in that tribulation time, but we're getting up to that tribulation time. And if there's ever been a time when we needed to study our Bibles, it's today. Now, fourth and last, the persuasion of his promotion. Look at verses 16 through 18. Very interesting. "And he causes all, small and great, and rich and poor, and free men and slaves, to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. And he provides that no one should be able to buy or to sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast. For the number is that of a man, and his number is 666. He causes all, small and great, rich, poor, free, bond, to receive a mark on their hand, right hand, or on their forehead, that no man should be able to buy or sell unless they have that mark. The mark is the name of the beast or the number of his name. It's 666. Can we have the next slide, please? 666. And there's two things we can say about this. I know two things for sure we can say about this. Number one, it is a sign of allegiance to Antichrist. Anybody that's living during that time that receives the mark of the beast on their hand or on their forehead, their allegiance, they're pledging allegiance and worshiping Antichrist. Secondly, if you receive that mark, you're lost forever. You will spend eternity in the lake of fire. You can read that down in Revelation 14, 9 through 11. It says everyone that took that mark ended up in hell for all eternity. All eternity. Now, all the other things we can say about the mark of the beast, they're speculation. I mean, some people point out that the number 6 is the number of man. It is. In the Bible, man was created on the sixth day. God's number is number 7. It's the number of completion. It's the number of perfection. That's why in the book of Revelation, there's 7 spirits. And God's number is 7. Man's number is 6. Some have said that Antichrist is the best that man can do. And the fact that there's 3 6s is just another evidence of the satanic trinity. And again, but that's speculation. We don't know. But what we do know too is that anybody that takes that mark will not be able to buy or sell unless they take the mark and worship Antichrist. Folks, 50 years ago, that seemed ludicrous. People said, how could that ever be? That must be symbolic or something. But you know what? Now we can kind of see how that may be. I want to read an article from the Akron Beacon Journal that I cut out just a few years ago. And why don't we go to the next slide? Okay, that's good. Listen to what the article said. Do it all card may kill cash. Visa International Financial Companies work to create electronic purse. By Beth Sheridan, Associated Press, New York. Quote, you truly would never leave home without it. That's because this would be all the cash you would need. It would pay for your telephone call to New York, highway toll to Ohio, and a chocolate bar from a company vending machine. No loose change, no bulky wallets or purses, just what Visa and its international group and 9 financial companies is calling, and quote, an electronic purse. In announcing its plan Tuesday, Visa portrayed its do-it-all card as a step toward a cashless society. The, quote, electronic purse would be a plastic card, but would bear a microchip, a sort of a tiny computer. It would be used for small ticket items from telephone calls to paying of fast food, burgers, and fries. Similar cards, often dubbed smart cards or chip cards, have been used in a few tests in the U.S. and more widely in Europe. Now, folks, this was back a few years, and keep it on that slide, would you? But back a few years ago, this is going to happen. This has happened. They have smart cards now that have chips in them. And just like I said, these cards, you can use these cards to buy and a number of different uses, but they're here right now. The problem is, what if you lose your card? Or what if it's stolen? And I want you to listen to this article by Peter Lalonde, publisher of the Omega Letter, entitled The Mark of the Beast is Being Tested. And put up the next slide if you would. Right now, as you're reading this letter, a U.S. company is perfecting a silicone chip that can be implanted under the skin. And this chip can be read by scanners identical to the ones in your supermarket. In fact, company documents obtained by Omega Letter state that the chip has been developed in cooperation with government agencies, end of quote, to solve the age-old problem of providing positive identification of equipment, animals, and people. And combining this new technology with that of electronic banking, which planners boast will lead to the destruction of cash and the birth of a cashless society, you can quickly realize how close the mark of the beast may be. In fact, Terry Galanoy, the former director of communications for Visa International, has issued this warning. Protesting too loudly about it isn't going to help either, because the disturbance you kick up is going to end up on one of your files. And on the come and get it day, when we are totally, all totally and completely dependent on our card or whatever survival device might replace it, you might be left all alone without one. Now, folks, I'll tell you what, if that doesn't sound like Revelation 13, 16 through 18, I don't know what does. I took my dog to the vet about a month ago, walked in, was sitting there with my dog, and in walked another lady, and she was talking to the lady there, and she said, "Well, do you want to do it? It won't take long, it'll only be $20. I think it was $20. And she said, not today, I'll bring it back. She's talking about putting a chip in her dog. She said, a lot of dogs get lost. They have angel chips now. They use for Alzheimer's patients. Chips that are implanted under the skin. Jim Prock's nephew went to get that job. Didn't take the job. Company wanted to hire him. But he didn't take the job. Why didn't he take it? He said the company that wanted to hire him is developing a new security chip on which they would download every fact about a person. Credit history, medical history, work history, social security number, where you live, everything. And they already are going to be using these chips in a number of countries. And he had a list. And he said they hope to have them totally throughout all of Europe within the next 5 years. With the chip, you will not have to use checks or cash. This is what he said. You will have the privilege at airports. You know, now you have to wait at airports and go through security. But if you have your card, you have the privilege to go through a special gate. And you just swat your card. You will need these chips even to access your computer. You know, a lot of people are doing computer hacking. And they're trying to, how can we do it? You will have to use your chip to get into your computer. And he said, once these are installed in Europe to do business with Europe, the computers, people here will have to have these chips for their computer. This card will make everything, they told him, this card will make everything easier and more secure. But they told him, the problem is, if you lose it, it will be very difficult to replace. So, they're planning to put them under the skin. They're planning to insert them in the hand. Put these chips within the person so that you would not ever lose your card. When Jim's nephew heard that, he refused to take the job. He said, I think this is the work of Satan, and I don't want any part of it. I don't want to work for Antichrist. No, thank you. Now, folks, what does this mean? I don't know. I don't know when Christ is coming, but I'll tell you what. The world is being prepared for the coming of Christ. And after he comes for his church, this world dictator is coming on the scene. I can see it. We can see it. Application. The signs are multiplying. But you know what, folks? We're not looking for a sign. We're listening for a sound. Because the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. And then we're going up. If you're ready. And I thought about this. Jesus is coming. I just see it. We are going at breakneck speed to the coming of Christ. So you know what? You know what that means for everyone? We can't fool around anymore. We got to get busy. There are people in your family that need Christ. There are people, neighbors beside me. You know what? They need the Lord. And unless they accept Christ, they're going to be left behind. So we need to be busy. Are you ready to meet Him? Are you ready? Let's bow in prayer. Father, we just look in Your Word, and Lord, Your Word, it's like reading today's newspaper, except it's true rather than newspaper being filled with all kinds of things that are not true, Lord. But we can see now how, Lord, these things very well could take place. We don't know the details, Lord. But we just see You preparing this old world, Lord, for Your coming. And Father, I just want to pray for everyone here today that, Lord, I pray that I would be ready when You come. I pray that we would be, Lord, that we would be not so involved in this world, that, Lord, we're surprised when You come. I pray that we would be wholeheartedly devoted to You, serving the Lord, trying to win the lost, looking, watching, and waiting for Your return. Help us to occupy till You come, Lord. Lord, do a work within our hearts. And we thank You that, Lord, this is going to happen, but we have victory in our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You so much for that, Lord. God, minister this in our hearts, I pray. In Christ's name, God's people said, amen. Amen.